I like this particular psalm, Psalm 106, but the title of this message tonight is, You Can Get What You Want, But You'll Lose What You Had. And in Psalms 106, we're going to look at verse 15, short verse. It says, And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for bringing us to this particular passage tonight. And I do pray that you would open our ears and our hearts to receive what you have for us.
Right.
Lord, I don't know what I need. And I don't know what your people need. But you do. And I pray that you would relay that message to them tonight. And to me, Lord, help us to see that. Lord, I pray that you would help me to say only what I should. And Lord, I pray that you'll be glorified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The full account of this is in Numbers. This is talking about, in fact, if you would turn there to Numbers. This psalm is rehashing what happened back in the days when the children of Israel were migrating from Egypt to Canaan land. So here in Numbers chapter 11, we're going to read the a portion of the account so that you understand more fully what was being said here in Psalms 106. Okay? So here in Numbers chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. I'm going to stop there for just a second and just help us to see here how important it is when someone else, as Brother Lewis declared tonight, when someone else prays for you. Especially as it said, I think in the book of James, especially the prayers of a righteous man. Moses definitely was righteous. So let's move on. Verse 3, and he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Now, first of all, as the Bible says in verse 1 here in chapter 11 of Numbers, complaining always displeases God.
Amen.
Always.
Amen.
Complaining is a sign of self-centeredness. It proves that our happiness hinges on getting what I want when I want it. Complaining suggests that God can't supply my need. So it reveals a major lack of trust in God. When we complain. That's why he hates it. It's a little bit difficult, I think, for me, maybe for you as well, to understand verse 1. In our minds, we're saying, all they did was complain and God killed them with fire. Thousands of them. But that just goes to show us what God thinks about complaining.
Right.
This isn't the only time this happened, by the way.
No.
How do you react when you don't get your way? Do you complain? Do you stomp the foot of your mind? God literally burnt up many of the Israelites that complained about their food. This ought to help us see the great mercy of God, because the truth is, you and I have complained many times and we're still here.
That's right. God, thank you for mercy.
If you read verses 6 through 9 again, it's evident that God already met the need they had for food.
Yes.
The manna was considered the perfect food. I believe it was. I believe it had every vitamin and mineral that their bodies needed. But it wasn't good enough for them. If you look at verse 31 of this same chapter, the Bible says, this is after they complained to Moses about, this is all we got. Mm-hmm. We're sick of this manna.
Yeah.
Give us some meat. We want meat. Mm. Verse 31. And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp, as it were, a day's journey on this side, and as it were, a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp. Now, just to give you a picture of this, God didn't drop the quail inside the camp. He dropped them outside the camp. All right? As it were, 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. A cubit is 18 inches. 2 cubits is 3 feet. Outside the camp, there were quail stacked this high all around the camp. Remember, the children of Israel already had the perfect food. Yes, they kind of got tired of it. It was the same thing over and over. It was sufficient. It was enough. Mm-hmm. They had plenty. They were just tired of it. You ever been there? Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you won't go there again. Mm-hmm. It's not a good place to be. To be unthankful for the blessings that God has already given us. So they asked for meat. Here in verse 31, the Bible says, God supplied the meat.
Amen.
Verse 32. And the people stood up all that day. This was the day that God delivered the quail. And all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 omers. And they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. The people were so desperate for something different than manna that they gathered more than 10 gallons of quail for 36 hours. The Bible says they were there that whole day. that whole night and all of the next day gathering the quail. Then they spread them out for themselves in complete satisfaction. Then, as they were gorging out on the quail, God struck them with a great plague. That's what we read in Psalms 106, chapter 15. But sent leanness unto their soul. Leanness of soul refers to a spiritual state characterized by emptiness or lack of fulfillment, often resulting from pursuing worldly desires instead of a relationship with God. It signifies a condition where, despite having material abundance, one feels spiritually deprived or unsatisfied. They got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. They got the meat. They gorged out on it, and then they died. Many of them. Not all of them.
Yeah.
Many of them. The ones that didn't were left to mourn the loss of those that did. Leanness of soul. I'm sure many of them had their head in their hands crying, "Why did we do this? Why was I so selfish?" David got what he wanted, but he lost what he had.
That's right.
If you follow the story of David, he probably had one of the most wrecked families of all.
Yeah. Lord.
Samson got what he wanted, but he lost what he had.
Yeah, that's right.
He lost his eyes. He even lost what he was striving so hard to get, which was Delilah. He also lost his freedom. He lost the strength that only God could give him. And he ground at the mill for the rest of his life, which wasn't too awfully long.
No.
The Bible says about the Israelites that they lusted after better food.
Right.
Lust means to have strong, overwhelming desire for something or someone that you shouldn't have. It consumes your mind. It also pulls your focus away from God. It separates you from gratefulness and drops you in a lake of self-centeredness. You can't get your mind off of it or them. You get mad at anything or anybody that gives any friction to you getting what you want. Then you finally get it. That's when leanness of soul sets in. Amnon got what he longed for.
Right.
And lusted after for quite some time. Then hated what he thought he wanted, which was Tamar. And then he lost his life.
That's right.
Judas got what he wanted. 30 pieces of silver. Then leanness of soul saturated him so deeply that he committed suicide after he threw away the 30 pieces of silver that had no value anymore.
Yeah.
We become so fixated on something or someone that we can't see clearly. We walk in the dense fog, trying to make sense of things, but can't see clearly enough to make good choices. During this time where we're lusting after something or someone, you're much happier when you're thankful for what God has already blessed you with.
Amen.
Then you are when you get what you thought you wanted.
Amen.
God knows your need better than you do. Trust Him. Thank Him. Praise Him. Be careful in your time of unthankfulness what you ask God for, because He may give it to you.
That's right.
And then He'll also give you leanness. There's no comparison, by the way, between what you had and what you lost. What you wanted and what you got compared to what you already have. What you have right now is better and of higher value than what you think you want.
Amen.
Paul said this. He said, I've learned to be content in every state.
Yes.
When I'm hungry, when I'm full.
Right.
When I have clothes to wear, when I don't. When I'm free to walk up and down the street or behind bars. God has showed me that it doesn't matter where I'm at, what I have, that He's with me. And that He will supply my need just like I need it.
Amen.
Just be content with what God has already given you. Because when we become ungrateful, it puts us in a position similar to where the Israelites were here in Numbers chapter 11. And the only thing that we have to look forward to when we're in that predicament, if we continue down that road, is a train wreck. Be thankful for what God has already given.
Yes, amen.
Let's pray. Father, I thank You for blessing us so much. Lord, You've blessed me beyond my deserving. And I thank You for it. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be grateful and thankful for the many things, the many blessings You've given to us. And Lord, forgive us for complaining when we don't have or get what we want. I thank You for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand, turn to 270.